chapter 10. Romans 10. I'm excited to be here today. Is there any more excited than me to be here today? Oh, good. I see that. Anybody else excited to be here today? Wouldn't you rather be here, like Gordon said, than anywhere else? We're in the house of God celebrating Jesus. And I'm telling you, I'm so excited about our upcoming New Year's Eve service going into 2013. I know God's going to move in that service, and a lot of good words are going to come forth, and good worship and good fellowship, and I'm just so excited what God's going to do. So if you're not a night owl, take you a nap. Most of you's off the next day. If you're not, I'll write you a note from the pastor excusing you. I'll tell him you were in all-night communion, and so you're excused from having to be at work. But try to be here. We're going to start at 9 o'clock at night. It's on a Monday night, and we're going to past midnight, bring the new year together. So very excited. Maverick, you ain't got to come, baby. You're little. That's okay. You can stay home and watch Monday Night Football. That's okay. What's that title say my message today? Everybody can see that, right? Forever Forgiven is the title of my message today. Forever Forgiven. I've got on there, is that possible? Yes, it's possible. How's it possible? Faith, number one. Not works, faith. We are forever forgiven by faith in what? In what Jesus did 2,000 years ago at Mount Calvary. His death paid the charge. Period. It paid the charge. We don't owe anything else, church. It's paid in full. And if we could realize that if we want to get out of it, you know how you break a cycle of sin? Here's the greatest way you break a cycle of sin in your life. It's not telling somebody, you're in a cycle of sin, you better break it. And it's not the preacher trying to put fear in you and paint a picture of flames and pointy ears and a pitchfork tail. That's not what gets you to stop sinning. You know what that really does? It makes you sin more because you realize, I can't avoid that. How you break the cycle of living a life you don't want to, a life of sin, the greatest way you break that cycle of sin is to know that you're righteous. That's what breaks it, to know that you're righteous. Paul said in Galatians 5:1, stand therefore fast in the liberty where Christ set you free. He didn't set us free temporarily. O.J. Simpson can never, ever, now he got what coming to him now, he's locked away for a while, but it wasn't over that same charge. The charge he was declared free of can never be tried again. No matter what he said, no matter what he did. He could have got on CNN. I did it. The glove didn't fit because I switched the sizes out the last minute. I had a really good lawyer. The glove did fit. And I did do it. And she deserved it. And I'm glad I killed her. He was declared acquitted. Forever and ever from that particular charge. I know, preacher, but we sin more than once. But the price for our sin was paid for one time forever for the saints of God. The blood was enough forever to free us forever and ever. Glory to God. Why do we put ourselves back in that bondage and we tell our kids, you better not mess up because God's going to strike his hand upon you? That is not the gospel. The gospel is, Romans 2:4 tells us, it is the goodness of God that draweth men to repentance. Look it up. Romans 2:4. It's the goodness of God that draweth man to repentance. Not the wrath of God that draws man to repentance. The goodness of God. We are forever forgiven because faith in Jesus Christ on a cross 2,000 years ago paid the charge. Completely. And every time we place ourselves back under that bondage of thinking that we, and church, I know people are going to reject this. You know why? Because it's the gospel, and they rejected the gospel. This is what Paul meant when he got rejected. And you know why Paul suffered? I've heard preachers say this, and some of you Christians may think this. Paul suffered a lot in the earth, right? He was stoned many times, in prison many times, beat many times, shipwrecked. I mean, Paul had a pretty hard evangelistic life. And I've heard people say that Paul had to suffer for Christ's sake because of his past. That's not why Paul suffered. Paul did not suffer because of his former rejection of Christ. Paul suffered because of the gospel. They rejected the gospel, and they didn't like it. Think about this. Even some of you in here today, it's hard for us to get that works part out of us. It's hard for us to get that part. You mean, preacher, man, I try to live. No, there you go. You did what? Try it. Stop right there. You tried. That's right. You can't operate in trying when Jesus has already been tried completely for you. And I hear people say, you know, they want to attach their works all the time. I'm a pretty good guy. No, you're not a pretty good guy. You are nothing outside of Christ. It's His blood that makes us beautiful. The reason I look so good to you this morning is because I'm covered by the blood. And that's the only reason. Think about if I was uncovered. I'd be hideous. But because God's beauty covers me, I can stand victorious. If y'all found Romans chapter 10, next slide, Jeremy. Romans 10 verse 3 says this. For they, he's talking about the Jews, those religious people still in the law. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Now, some people take this verse and say, well, that means you gotta be righteous in God. Right. But what is righteous in God? By how I live or behave, or by accepting His righteousness for me? That's what submitting His righteousness means, that I'm submitting to His, not my righteousness, His righteousness. You mean God don't, I can't earn no points, Pastor, if I fast? Man, I went without food for 3 days, and didn't God see that? Sure, He saw that. And did I earn brownie points? No, you didn't. What you did do was you was really hungry for 3 days. But what you really did is it drew you unto Him. It didn't draw Him unto you. Listen to this now. Because if it moved God in any way, it's what we're doing that moves God instead of what Calvary did that moved God on our behalf. So yes, I'm for fasting and praying and studying and giving and serving and all that. All that will go with our Christian walk. But it's not about doing those things to establish any righteousness. And we got to get away from that. And all the glory goes to Him, the one up on a hill. You know, if as Gordon was talking, we had lunch and had some good fellowship, and I was talking about how much that we have heard about the cross our whole lives, but we kept adding stuff to it. Man, when I see the cross now, Bruce, I see it for what it is. All of my sin, everyone I commit, was covered by the blood of Jesus. And I am the righteousness of God. A beer in my hand or a swear word in my mouth does not remove the righteousness of God out of my life. And when we realize we are righteous in Him, then we will break the cycle of sin. Because we'll remind ourselves. And I challenge Gordon with this at lunch. I want to challenge all of you with this same thing I challenged Gordon with. When you, starting today, begin to declare to yourself, look in the mirror, say, I am the righteousness of God. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Not that glory goes to us. The focus is on what Christ did. I'm righteous in you. And then the cross will have a whole new meaning in our lives when we realize what it did. It'll be beautiful. It'll be holy. When we wear a cross around our neck, it'll mean something. It won't be just a bling bling wrapping kind of thing. It'll mean something. I'm wearing a cross because the cross made me forever righteous. Look at that. They, being ignorant of God's righteousness, going about to establish their own. And we see that now, don't we? Even in regular, we see that all across Christianity. Still the works trying to establish their righteousness. Instead of knowing that it's the blood of Jesus that made all of us righteousness. Has nothing to do with works, not our works. It has to do with the finished work of the cross. None of our works can make us righteous. I've said it many times. See, people want to point out individual sins, yes. But those sins have been covered by the blood. Sure, we're going to still fail. That's why the blood came. Sure, we're going to mess up. That's why the blood came. Sure, we're going to do things we don't like doing, but that's why the blood of Jesus came. It knew we could never do. There were 613, 600 Jewish laws. Think about that. I mean, we can't keep a couple. Don't lust. Oh, sorry. You know? I mean, we can't keep one. Can you imagine keeping all of them? And Jesus came. And as we submit ourselves unto his righteousness. And here's what people tell me. That's arrogant preaching, Pastor, because it gives you a sin to go out and a life of God and sin. No, it doesn't. It breaks that cycle of sin. Here's why people give up. They never think they can measure up to God, so they quit. And you're right. We can't. We can never measure up to God. Any of us through time, from Abraham to Moses to the wonderful Apostle Paul, if we stood before Christ and the throne and our entrance to heaven, our entrance to the next level was based on our individual works, our bad works would outweigh our good works 25,000 to 1. All of us. We couldn't get in. And here's what we're talking about, the sin nature. It's the sin nature Christ removed to pay the price for. The sin nature. Doesn't mean we're not going to sin, church. But the sin nature was removed because we were born with that sin nature. Now, some people teach, even some denominations teach, they don't believe in the original sin. They don't believe in the sin of Adam. I do. That's scripture. And I believe in the original sin of Adam that passed down upon all men. I also believe that Jesus, as it says in the Bible, as in all men through Adam became sin, so in all, in Christ, so all be made righteous. Not talking about universal salvation. It's talking about all those that understand that and accept that and receive that righteousness. They too shall be made righteous. Adam brought in sin. Christ paid the sin. And now we're free from that sin. When we know we're free from sin, the sin nature, the sin penalty, what about, let me ask you this, don't raise your hands because you may be here now. If you're on the run from the law, maybe there's a bond up on your head or you're a fugitive right now, don't let me know because I don't want to harbor fugitives. If I don't know, that's good. And you're running. What are you always doing when you're out? Aren't you? Oh, God, there's a cop. You're hiding behind your wife. You're hiding behind your child. You're always over your shoulder worried. What happens when a cop gets behind you? And you're driving down the road. What do most of you do? Are you scared out of your mind? I am. I'm like, will he quit following me? Please turn. So I turn. There he is. Please turn. I turn. They turn again. You want to have dinner? What are you doing? Turn. A cop behind you. I don't care. Now, let me put this in a very practical way. My dad has never got a speeding ticket. Unbelievable. In 60 plus years, I never got a speeding ticket. That's right. Congratulations. Never. He never got any ticket, I don't guess. Seatbelt ticket, parking ticket, you know. But I guarantee you, if my dad's not a speeder, believe me, he's not a speeder. And I guarantee you, my dad's on 115 today driving, and a cop gets behind him, what's he going to be aware of? The law. No matter that he's not speeding, He wasn't speeding before the cop pulled up. He was fine before. He'll be fine during. But here's my dad. Here's the mirror. He's got that needle. He ain't going 56. He's on 55. He might even slow down to 53, allowed for tire problems. I mean, he is right there. Before he's going along 115 singing, you know, I love you, Jesus. Look at the cow, Diane. I love you, Jesus. You know, he's singing. Noah, where's all of a sudden, he looks in the mirror. There's a cop. He's immediately reminded of the laws behind him. So all of a sudden, he starts watching what he's doing, don't he? He's lost the freedom to enjoy the ride. Even though he wasn't speeding to start with, it still made him aware of the law. This is how we are when we're sin conscious all the time. We can't enjoy the ride of righteousness. We have no power. We have no victory. My God, Gord is trying to trying to witness somebody at work, and it's like, how do you get saved? Well, you got to believe in Jesus. Well, what do I got to do after that? Well, you got to live like me. Well, no, I don't always live. Well, you got to live like Jesus. No, James always lived right. You got to do right. Then all of a sudden, Gord like, well, I don't do right. So, well, maybe I ain't saved. Never mind. Scratch that conversation. I'm going to see somebody else talk to you. All of a sudden, we process all that out because we're not even secure in our own salvation in Christ, much less helping anybody else. We've got to become less sin conscious. Now, understand what I'm saying here. I'm not saying less aware of what we're doing for God. No, I'm not saying, oh, man, preacher said less sin conscious. Woo-hoo! We're not going to live that way if we're righteousness conscious. We're not going to do that. I mean become less sin conscious of the fact that we are not anymore. And I know, I already feel, let me get behind the podium. I know some of you are not going to like this because, man, you can't let go of that humility, you call it, humbleness. I call it ignorant of God's word. I hear this. Now, preacher, I'm just a sinner, saved by grace. I'm not a sinner saved by grace no more. I was a sinner apart from God, but grace showed up and canceled out my sin. I don't stand before a holy God as a sinner. I stand before a holy God as the righteousness of Him standing before Him. He sees the penalty paid, the debt paid in full. I am free to approach the throne with confidence, knowing I will not be rejected because I have been restored through the blood of Jesus. But we like those songs because they make us feel, I don't know, sad. I don't want to feel sad. I want to feel glad. I want to feel happy. I want to have victory knowing, Lord, I stand before you, not on anything I did, but on everything that you did. That's what you'll find. You read all of Paul's epistles, you'll find the gospel over and over was all about the finished work of Jesus. There's nothing to add to it. How confident is it? Bruce comes up for an altar call. Never been saved before. He walks up here, tear in his eyes. He's feeling the Lord. Knees are shaking, hearts pounding. I mean, man, he's feeling God. Preacher comes up to him, prays with him. Bruce says, am I saved, preacher? Did you accept Jesus? I sure did. You're saved, brother. Wow, I'm saved. Yeah, Bruce, you're saved. But now listen here. We've got to talk about this. Now listen, you can't go do this no more. And you can't do that no more. And you can't do that no more. And you can't do that no more. And you really can't do that no more. All of a sudden, Bruce leaves more shackled than he came. I just got saved. I thought See, the Holy Spirit, when you're really born again, it will lead you into truth. You will know how to live. I don't have to give a person that's been saved, I don't have to give them a don't do list. I've never gave them a top 10 don't do. I'm not David Letterman. Top 10 reasons why you can't sin. I don't do that. Never have. The Holy Spirit will remind you of who you are. And what happens is, if you're really born again, those desires change. You don't have the same desires. You don't have the same. It's like I talked a few weeks ago. I used to love potted meat. Some of you may still love it. And then Vienna sausages and that slimy gel. Remember that stuff? Boy, I'd suck on them things. Oh, I loved them. There wasn't nothing better than a Vienna and a cracker. But you know what? I don't like them no more. My tastes have changed. I went from Vienna to sirloin. Once you've had a taste of sirloin, it's hard to get back to a Vienna unless you just broke. Once you get a taste of truth, of righteousness, you can't live any other way. Once you realize what Calvary did. Go to the next verse, Jeremy. Look at verse 4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. The end of the law. I've got a lot of folks. I've got some of my family that's a messianic Jewish minister. Still going through the motions of some of the legalistic stuff. And, you know, if that's what you want to do, I'm not saying anything wrong with it. I really not. Everybody's different. Not a thing wrong with those things. But those things aren't necessary anymore if you're truly in Christ Jesus. to go through rituals of keeping certain things because that's what it. He is the end of the law. In other words, when Jesus came, the law ended. It wasn't abolished. It was fulfilled. But it ended. Christ picked up what the law couldn't and carried us over. The law, the whole purpose of the law was always to lead us to Christ. Always. It was to lead us. That was the whole, and the law was not a mistake. The law was in place to lead people to the end of themselves to recognize they couldn't do it on their own. So Jesus came, shed his blood, and now he's the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that worketh. I don't say worketh, does it? Believeth. To everyone that believeth. See if y'all's awake. This is y'all's doze zone right here, about 10 to 11, I've noticed. I'm trying to make sure y'all are awake. Y'all know you have a doze zone on Sunday mornings? To everyone that believeth. And we want to complicate it. We want to make it about works so much. You know, people don't want to accept the fact that Jesus did it all, and we have nothing to do with it. We don't like it. Because in our hearts, we want to hang on to something. You know, we're like, man, you know, I remember Bruce, man, about he's a bad boy. And I was never a bad boy. He's got the same reward I got. I mean, my Lord, look where he was. And you're saying he's the righteous of God? But I remember when. And so did God. And he said in his word, I will remember their iniquities no more. That's the new covenant. I will remember his iniquities no more. I will remove his transgressions, his sins, as far as the east is from the west. Remove them. When we can live in that kind, and I'm going to tell you, I challenge you, I promise you, start walking in this and you will break cycles of sin in your life because you will walk in knowing, I don't belong here, I'm the righteous of God. The law is a constant reminder of how short we fall, but grace is a constant reminder of how God fell that we could stand forevermore. That's what grace did. Go to the next verse. I'm skipping down to, here's verse 9. We all know this verse. It's in every tract in America. That if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Now verse 10 is the key. Look at this. For with the heart man believeth unto what? Righteousness. We believe God that what he did is what he did. And when we believe that, we become righteous. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. That's the gospel. You know, we've got something labeled now called a sinner's prayer. We hear every preacher say it. And I pray people too. We've had prayers. But there really is no such thing as a sinner's prayer. Here's salvation. I believe in my heart, Jesus. I feel you calling me. I believe you, I accept you, and I confess you in this day forward. You are my Lord. Boom. Righteousness has been crowned upon you. It's by faith. Why do we want to keep working it? I had a minister friend on Facebook that he didn't live around here. He's out of state. We had a couple of things back and forth. I was silent for most of it, and I couldn't be silent no more. And I finally emailed this minister what I thought. And guess what happened to my comment? It got deleted. That's the truth. He kept all his comments, deleted mine. Man, church, why do we want to try to keep people in prison when Jesus set them free? Nobody would stay in that situation. I've never been to jailhouse yet to bail someone out, and they said, just go with me here, it's a good story. I've never been to jailhouse yet to bail someone out, and they say, nah, preacher, I'm good in here. Just go on. I'm good. I'm going to hang out here a while, and I'm going to learn my lesson. I kind of like Bubba. He's kind of cute. I'm going to stay here, preacher. Yeah. That's never happened. They want out. So when the bail's been paid, why would you stay in prison? When the price is paid, why are we in prison? I want this church, I want people, I want God's people to enjoy their salvation. To enjoy it. And not be scared you're going to lose it every second. If you could lose your salvation, then it was earned. It wasn't a gift. God didn't take back his gifts. He gifted us. and the calls in your life you have now and the gifts and the abilities and the anointings that maybe some of you used to walk in and flow in that you just over the years have let kind of lay idle and get stale and get stiff. It's time to stir the gifts of God up again, reminding yourself that God didn't gift me to take it away. What God gave me is still there. I just got to crank it up and begin to walk in it, begin to use it again, and quit letting the devil tell me it's dead, it's gone, it's buried, it's barren. It is not barren. It is not dead. It is not over. The same gifts God gave you all them years ago is still within you today because his righteousness is faithful forevermore inside of you. Remind yourself of that. Now, I know it's a different message even for a lot of, I'm telling you. I mean, even the Baptist churches teach saved by grace, but, I mean, a lot of them will have a lot of buts in there. There would have been no point. Church, really think about this. I want some of you religious folks to think about this in your heart right now. What was the purpose of the cross if we got to do anything else? Think about this. Why did it have to happen if it could have happened any other way? If we have to do anything additional, then the power of the cross has lost its power. Yeah, but you got to live right. Well, you know what? If I know Jesus, I'm going to live for him. If I really, as Bruce sung, he touched me. I got touched by God's Holy Spirit at 9 years old. I was never the same. I did a lot of things wrong between 9 years old and today. A lot of years have passed. Done a lot of things I'm ashamed of. A lot of things I didn't follow God. A lot of things I find myself, God, why in the world? I know better than this. Why? But you know what happened? I never, since 9 years old, have ever been able to get away from that voice and that call and that presence of God on my life. It's always been there. And God knew when he touched me at 9 years old in an old camp meeting in the middle of Wilkes County, God knew all the things I would do between 9 and 41. And every one of them, when I accepted Jesus, was covered by the blood. I was telling Gordon at lunch, think about this. These people say, you better repent of everything, you know, and then, you know, you better make sure you get it all, church. And every day, and every minute. I mean, you know, me and Gordon's having lunch, and, you know, what if Gordon, you know, I mean, just, you know, what if he gets in the car and says a swear word, then a deer hits him, he's dead. He's in hell? Are you kidding me? That's what we've taught, though. That's what we've taught. Gordon said, H-E-L-L. Then he had a wreck. Ooh, he's there now. Oh, boy, I heard him cuss. He didn't ask. I didn't hear him say, God, forgive me. It was, what the? Oh, he's dead. Hell, woo, burn. Really? That's what we've taught. That's a little extreme, but that's really been our mentality. Remember Samson? Bless his heart. He loved the women, didn't he? Samson, my kind of man. Samson couldn't stay away from the women. He kept on going to that valley and kept being with the wrong people and different culture and different. He shouldn't have been with those folks. They were worshiping false gods. They were a heathen nation. But boy, Samson kept on going back. Samson's mentioned in Hebrews as a hero of faith. David, when he was made king, God knew his fall. God knew when he called him a shepherd boy, he said this is the one, he would have all that mess down the road. David was covered by the grace of God. When we realize who we are, and I know what you're thinking, yeah, but Samson repented at the end. Sure he did. He was still God's during that time, church. He was still God's child. He was called from the womb of his mother, if you remember. Called from the womb and anointed from the womb to be a hero for Israel. It's the accuser. Satan means in the Hebrew, the accuser. The accuser. That's what it means. The accuser. Look it up. Satan means the accuser. And that's what he's always trying to do is accuse us of falling short, of not being good enough. And all that is true in our flesh. But in God, we are forever forgiven in his eyes. And that'll break the cycle of sin. I'm going to tell you, it's hard to walk in sin when you really get the truth of this. It'll give you so much strength. The law is a constant reminder that you can't do it, but grace reminder, he's already done it. Christianity, in Joseph Prince's book, he has a comment in there that says, Christianity's always been about do, 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 Or church is always taught, you know, do, whenever Christianity is about done. Isn't that our mentality? It's always about doing, whenever it's done. And we can rest that it's done. We'll walk in victory, church. I'm telling you, we'll walk in the victory of God. You have to digest this a little bit. You have to process this. And you may be thinking, I'll just do what I want to do. No, you won't. Not if you're His. No, you won't. You know why I'm married? Besides being cheaper to keep her. You know why I'm married? Because I love her. I love my wife. I love her. She get on my nerves? Yeah. There are times I wonder, you know, what have I done? Yeah. But through all of that, I love her. I mean, I love my wife. So I want to live because I love her. Not out of fear, which I am fearful of her too, but not out of fear, out of love. You do things for your children because you love them, right? You love your children. You want to bless them. You love them. My relationship with my three kids is all about love. It's not about fear. It's about love. I give to my kids, not because I have to, because I want to. I do things for my children because I want to, not because I have to. You know, I had Christian's car yesterday. I went and got an oil change, and I'm going to tell you, you want some looks. Let a 41-year-old man ride around a yellow bug with a daisy, and on the back windshield written in chalk, Michaela loves you. All right. I am the man, but Kayla loves me, whoever that is. So I'm at a traffic light yesterday. Talking about love for your children, okay? I'm going from a Jeep Cherokee to a yellow daisy bug, you know? And I'm a light in front of the mall yesterday, and this car pulled beside me, got a mom and daddy in the front and one little about Seth's age in the back. And this boy, he looked at and says, "Cool car, man." And they're pulling off and I'm yelling, "It's not mine!" I really was. But anyway, I'm out with the car, and I get Christian's oil changed, and then I fill it up for some gas. I see it was low, I went and got her gas. Didn't tell her about it. She got in the car yesterday, and she saw it right off. Said, "Oh, tell Daddy, thank you, got me gas. Oh, my gosh, I hadn't been fooling forever. He put some gas in my car." You know, I didn't have to do that. I mean, Christian works, and she's always usually takes care of her own gas. But I saw it low and just wanted to do it for her. I'm not doing it for brownie points on me. I'm doing it to type, but thank you. Can we? I do too. Do it for you all the time. I get you gas all the time. How many times I go switch out car and get you gas? I do that a lot. Don't I? Be honest. Do I not do that? Oh, okay. Anybody want to go to lunch with us today? The whole point is I was trying to make was that. That's what God did for us. He loved us. He didn't have to, but He did. And He loved us. And how we serve God, not because we have to, we love Him. When we see the power of the cross. One more verse, we'll close out. Go to the next one, Jeremy. 17. I skipped a lot to get to my point this morning. So then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Now, I want to translate something you may have never heard before until I begin to study this. The word of God here translates in the original translation manuscripts, into the word of Christ. So let's put it this way. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. So when we hear about Jesus, what He did and who He is, that's what gives us faith. And that builds our uttermost faith up, to hear about Christ. The word of Christ, what was being declared. What did Paul go preaching? Christ, 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 Christ. He was never preaching works. He said that grace is a gift from God, lest any man boast. It's a gift. We can't earn a gift. A gift's something that we give with no strings attached. If I go to my parents and present them a check, say, "Here's a check for $500, I just love you," it's a gift. You know what that tells them? They ain't got to pay it back. It's theirs to keep. Righteous was a gift God gave us. We can't ever pay it back. And don't be fooled by thinking we can live good enough to honor God that when He looks at us, "Well, you did pretty good, boy." That's a very dangerous place to be. our righteousness must rest in what he did. And when it does, when it truly rests in what Jesus did, we will be more motivated than ever to walk in victory. Remind yourself, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Church, that's the gospel. The gospel never been about works and about man. It's about what Jesus did. That's where freedom comes. Freedom, the shackles of sin are broken when we realize that Jesus truly paid the price for them all. And I can just rest in that. You know what Hebrews says about, I forget what chapter it is, but over in Hebrews it talks about ceasing from your works. That's what it's talking about. Ceasing. Stop trying to do what's already been done. Sure, we're going to do what's right, church. We're still going to do the things God wants us to do. We should want to be in the house of God on Sundays. We should want to give of our offering and our tithes. We should want to raise our hands in worship. We should want to study and pray and witness and bear fruit. All those things will come when we try stop trying to work so hard. Don't we all love vacations? You work all the time. You work long weeks, months at a time. You go on vacation to what? Refresh. And when you come back, you're charged, you're geared, you're ready to go. Without that rest, you'll wear out. We've got to stop trying to work it and rest in what Jesus has done. Just rest. And when people look at you and say, you mean you one of them once saved, always saved? I don't believe in that, man. I don't believe what you want to believe. But all your shouting and dancing is not going to earn one point to make you righteous. Listen to me, church. I love to shout and dance. And I'm telling you, I've done my share of it. And I'll do it again. There's no doubt God's going to do that again. And I'm all for that. But I've seen a lot of people dance on Sunday and swear and snort and fornicate on Monday. You know what I'm talking about? It's all about Jesus up in this house on Sunday, but it's living with the devil the rest of the week. You want to break that cycle, find Jesus. Just find Jesus. You're enough, God. You're enough. God, you're enough. You will get rejected by people when you tell them that Jesus is enough. Well, they ain't saved, man. They don't always live right. Do you always live right? I try my best to live right. Well, your best ain't good enough. Your best didn't get you to heaven. God's best did. That's why the covering of the blood is so. That's why the veil, when Jesus dies, the veil was tore from top to bottom. There was a separation no man could enter into before the blood was shed. And when the blood was shed, the access was made open to the Holy of Holies, not a natural Holy of Holies in Israel, but the very essence of God's presence. Now that man, for the first time, can enter in and come boldly before God and touch his throne. Because we have access by the blood. We've been marked with the blood of Jesus. And man, the world try to tear you down with that, try to remind you, you better do this. You better, I mean, people, you know, I've heard it my whole life, man. Rapture ready. Better be rapture ready. Rapture ready, boy. You better watch out. You better not be going over to that woman's house because that horn may sound. And where are you going to be, brother? You better pick. It's blonde or it's God. Which one you picking, boy? You better hope the trumpet don't sound when you're on your way doing that. You better hope the trumpet don't sound when you fall. You better hope when you have a moment of discouragement or unbelief the trumpet don't sound because, man, you better make it right. When you start hearing the sirens, you better go, forgive me, oh, Lord, forgive me. It goes all back, don't it, to us. Jesus is the King for a reason. He's the Lord for a reason. He's our Messiah for a reason. He's the manna for a reason. He is the Holy of Holies. He is now the mercy seat forevermore, and his blood continually flows from the top of the mountain to the lowest valley and finds you where you are, and the same blood that found you is the same blood that keeps you forevermore. Same blood. If we have to repent every single time we fail, the one crucifixion of Christ was not enough. Even 1 John's been misinterpreted where it says we have an advocate with the Father. Yes, we do have an advocate. He's paid the price, so he's continually there. Yeah, boom, boom, taking the bullets for us. He's our intercessory. that when we fail, boom, God, see, when we fail, there's Jesus. When we fail, there's the blood. Every time we fail, there's the blood. See yourself as Jesus sees you, born again. Glory to God. You can't be unborn once you're born. Little Leon can't be reborn. He's a pretty big boy now. That would not be a good experience. He's here. He can't be uncreated. He's been created. We have been created new in Christ Jesus forevermore. One touch forevermore. Bow your head with me for a minute if you would. I just want to pray this prayer this morning. Lord, I know for some people's hearts this may be a little different than what they're used to hearing. They're just, we have been so work mentality that we think we can do something, or we think we can keep something that we didn't even earn. God, I take no credit for what you did for me. Lord, you called my name in 1980. You drew me to the foot of the cross and let me know I am what you need. And from that day point, you have been all that I've needed, and you're able to keep that which I gave you all those years ago. You've been able to keep it for the rest of my life, and you have and you will. And I thank you for that, Lord. I pray for hearts here today that are struggling with this, that maybe are still trying to work their way or think they got to get cleaned up first to approach you. God, they don't. If they try to do anything outside the cross, they're under the law again. They're not under grace. We come to you as we are, broken, ugly, dirty, and messy, frustrated and angry and fearful. That's how we approach you. And we say, God, I feel you drawing me. I don't understand it all, but I know you're there. I know there's something calling me. And God, I just surrender to that right now. I surrender to that. And like the Bible says, Lord, I believe you are Lord, and you're the only Lord and God. I confess that with my mouth. I believe in that in my heart, and you said I'll be saved forevermore. I pray for hearts today to receive this message, Lord, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel, the good news. It's not good news if we can lose it. It's not good news if we got to earn it. It's not good news if we got to work to keep it. It's good news because you delivered it forevermore into our lives. Thank you for that, Jesus. I am the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. And you see me that way. Thank you for that, Lord. Let every heart hear the word today. Let every heart receive this word as truth. And show it to them, God. Reveal it to them that this is your gospel. That they will rest in that and find hope in that and revelation in this word. Touch every life in here and move in their lives in a very special way. Let your grace, Jesus, find their heart today. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, we give you praise and honor. And the church said, amen.